Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. Morning, how are you?
Okay, good morning everybody. And our limud of the halachas of Chofetz Chaim is the schus refuas Yosef Dov ben Chayla b'soich shol chayla Yisrael and all the injured people in Eretz Yisrael, the soldiers and the people who were injured during the... Everybody needs a refuah. What? Was there? I didn't hear. Well, that's long. Okay. So, I suppose today's chapter is titled Intelligence. But I think you could call it fly on the wall. In English, they speak about the fly on the wall. Fly on the wall means that when things are happening in secret somewhere, and you wish, if I was the fly on the wall, I'd know what was going on. Zot the Chofetz Chaim, following on from what we discussed yesterday, about discussing people's characters, discussing whether they're fat or thin or tall or short, or they're red hair or they're black hair, or they're clever or they're stupid. Yeah, he says the Chofetz Chaim, he says, imagine that you were the fly on the wall and there's a group of people and they're discussing your intelligence. They're saying, you know, I won't speak about Chassarun about me, but Avadya, you know, is it, a couple of people are saying, yeah, he's not too clever. Twice I sit in shir with him and he never says anything, and when he does say something, it's stupid and he asks silly questions. People come up with all their Svaras as to why, and they come to Nimnu Vagomru after they've had a discussion that actually he's not very bright. Okay? And that can have many, many consequences. Will you do business with him? Will you be Meshadech with him? Would you ask him for advice? What happens if you're talking about a Rov? Would you ask him for a Psak? Yeah? Would you go to him for advice? Etc. So the Chofetz Chaim says, how would you feel? Right? Obviously, Be'einecho, they're all wrong. Their conclusion is wrong. You don't think that you're not very bright, you know? And therefore you think that, why are they discussing me bichlal? And if they are discussing me, they've come to the wrong conclusion. Why have they come to the wrong conclusion? Because they don't like me. So it starts already, I got a sinner, they've got prejudice, they've got some reason, start thinking back. Oh yeah, Ploini, once upon a time, he had a machlokes with my brother. You know, you come up with all sorts of things because you're trying to understand why it is that they've come up with this bad suck. And you'll come to the conclusion in the end that there's an schlechte mention, that's really it. I'm actually a very clever person, and I'm actually very intelligent, and the reason why they're sitting there and why they come to the wrong conclusion is because they don't like me, me'ezatam shi'iyya, v'chule. Says the Chofetz Chaim, most people, when they're sitting down, are just talking in that sort of conversation about Tiena's klieg or Tiena's nish klieg, yeah? They don't even think that maybe it's got to do with Lashon Hara. You know, no, we're just discussing what that is, you know. They don't even think. He says it doesn't even register. Yeah? By normal Lashon Hara, says the Chofetz Chaim, in the back of your mind, you know you're speaking Lashon Hara. You feel a little bit guilty about it sometimes. You're aware, especially if you learn Chofetz Chaim every day, that when you're having a regular conversation, you're aware a little bit that I'm speaking Lashon Hara, maybe this isn't Mutter, and afterwards maybe you'll have some Charota. But says the Chofetz Chaim, these sort of discussions where you're sitting around the Chasna table or at a Sheva Brochas or something, and you're just talking about Yenem, about the thing, people don't even register that it's Lashon Hara. If you don't register, if you don't even think that it's Lashon Hara, you're not going to be able to do Tshuva on it either, because you don't think you did anything wrong. Yeah? So he says, such discussions, he says, could be more dangerous than speaking about Yena what he did. Speaking about Yena Vusa is more dangerous than speaking about Yena what he did. And therefore he says, why? He says, very simple. He says, when you're discussing what he did, we have to think about being Don Lachav Schus. When you're Don Lachav Schus, do you think about what he did? And maybe what he did wasn't a Davera, and maybe he didn't realize that you could come up, if you want to be Mekai in the Mitzvah, say, or Betzedek Tishpoit Amisecho, then you will analyze the things that he did, and the things that he did, you will say, maybe what he did wasn't a Davera, and maybe he didn't know, and maybe he didn't realize, etc. But he said, when you discuss somebody's character, Nobody starts seeing Don Lachavschus. Nobody starts sort of thinking, you know, maybe. People don't do that. And they just decide that he's been labelled that he's not bright. He's not smart. That's how they think. Yeah? So therefore he says, that, and he says, Befrat, when you speak negatively about the intelligence of a Rav, yeah, or a Torah teacher, or somebody's new son-in-law, or his new daughter-in-law, and you're saying that maybe they're not too bright, he says, then obviously the transaction, the consequences could be quite serious. And therefore, he says, what you have to do in all these discussions is always think to yourself when you're sitting down and you happen to be discussing somebody else's character, somebody else's attributes, somebody else's malus and chesronius, just imagine, said, if they were talking about me and I was the fly on the wall, if they were talking about me, and if this discussion was about me and I could hear what they were saying, I'd be very, very upset. And therefore, if you think that way, then says the Chofetz Chaim, maybe you won't do it, or you'll stop doing it if you start it.
Start your day at the Torah Way, Northwest London, Thursday, 17th of Kislev, 30th of November. Rabbi Shlomi Wise, Shlita, lighting menorah away from home. This week's Torah Way is sponsored by Family David Levy, the first incarnation of Shimon Levy Nerio and Penny Feingold, Shetichia. Pasna took place last Sunday. He wrote in Shimon Levy, the mom is Rolo Shem Lizilo. ולזכוס השבויים והחיירים והמלחמו שיחסו לבותיהם לשלום במהירו.
Good morning, everyone. Usually when I'm asked to give a shir, I think the first thing is it should be about kashrus. But unfortunately, unless someone can come up with some interesting questions, I'll be honest with you, for me, kashrus is something I deal with every day. I don't find it that interesting. So maybe a dover poshut for me may not be dover poshut for other people. That's probably true. But on the other hand, it's very hard for me to build, very often to build a shir. I get asked questions and I give an answer in 5 minutes, not 30 minutes. So, okay. I was going to try and give a shir on a totally different topic, which was to do with tefillah of a ger, or geiris, but unfortunately, I only came back into London last night. I don't have my notes. So, this shir is something which, I think a similar shir was given maybe 15 years ago or so. So hopefully, apologies about Chazara, but Peor remembers that shir. There may be some different Maramakovis. Okay. As my grandfather used to say, I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday or this morning. So okay. Actually, it ties into something which is possibly my pet peeve, which is the fact that nowadays everyone gets called Harav or Harav Agon and Shlita and who knows all the titles. And I point out to people that I heard from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Shem Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that before the war in Litter, if you wanted to be a Rav of a shul, not the Kehillah Rav, a Rav of a shul, you got tested on not only Shulchan Aruch, the entire Prima Godin. Now, nowadays, most Rabbonim do not learn Prima Godin, certainly not every single Prima Godin. Maybe someone like Rav Kalievsky, but the average person doesn't. And therefore, why do I mention this? Because really, it was understood when you got Fahed then on the first 120 or so Simonim of Yeridea, it meant it was a double poshut, you knew the whole of Aruch Chaim. That was a given. You knew Chashabas, you knew Chas Pesach, you knew everything. You know, you knew Chas Avrin, you could do everything. And then, of course, there were other bits that you were going to learn, or maybe you had learnt. But this was meant to be a sample representation. I don't think today, necessarily, when Bachrim learn Issa V'Heta, that means that they now know all of Aruch Chaim, etc. So for example, in my work, so one of the questions that comes up is Pesach. And unfortunately, it's not always Oyla Ladas during the year. We say Lamantisko, Siyam Teskom, Eretzim Kodim Echayechel, but in Kashrus, that can actually be true because you sometimes need to plan ahead, months ahead, sometimes quite far ahead for Pesach. Anyway, this is about Hanukkah. I want to discuss lighting a menorah away from home. And there is, I think, there are a few applications to this. But let's go to the original, what we call the primary sources. The Gemara and Shabbos in Baba Malikin discusses, obviously, Neir Shabbos. It also discusses Neir Chanukah. Daf Chof Gimel, the Gemara discusses the idea of someone's Haroya, Birchas Haroya, which is unique, that someone who's not actually doing a mitzvah but sees the mitzvah being done can make a bracha. There's no clear reason given so much in the Gemara itself, the Rishayim suggests why, as we'll see. The Rashi says there in Dibra Maschil Haroya that he's talking about a Yoshev Svina is not able to light. Someone who's on a boat can't light menorah. There isn't an explanation clear in Rashi why not. May just be a practical question. On the other hand, the Orchas Chaim and the Kolboy, who always pretty much go together, the Rishonim from Provence, they held that if you're on a Sfina, you do light. So the question is, what is this Machlokas? What's going on? So some say that, some understand that the Machlokas is that the mitzvah of Chanukah is to light in your home. That is really its Nerush of Esau. It's where, you know, that's where you are. And that's Rashi's Shitta. And therefore, Svina is not your home. You don't get to light there. Whereas the Kolboy and the Orchas Chaim maybe hold, there's not a din in the house. It's wherever you are. And if you happen to be on a ship, you're on a Svina, it's fine. So you can light there. Alternatively, you might disagree. You may both say that you do need a house. You need to be in a place where there's a house. We know, ideally, it's supposed to be on the side of the mezuzah, etc. There's dinim in it, but the question is, what's called a house? What for this, or at least for the purpose of Neiros Chanukah, what's a house? And therefore, since Rashi will hold, since a ship, a boat, is not really somewhere where people live as, you know, on a permanent basis. I know now it's becoming more popular to live on a barge and go down the canals. They say it's cheaper on the rent, but generally speaking, we don't assume, you know, we assume that these people are there temporarily and it's not really a house. And according to the Kolboy, the fact that you're there for the time that you're on the boat, whatever, where, however long it may be, that's enough to be considered your home. And the last explanation is talking about what the metzius of the boat is, meaning you may have a boat where it's pretty much open. There's some masts, there's some, you know, there's a little bit of area on top, but there isn't necessarily clear rooms or places for people to live. Whereas you can have like maybe a ferry or something where there's more of an option where you actually get your own place and etc. And therefore, you know, if you're talking about a short trip boat, like a ferry crossing or something where you won't necessarily have a proper place of your own, then that would be Rashi and the Kolboy. Maybe you're not arguing and they're saying, talking about a different type of ship. We'll see, hopefully, Achrenim talk about this. There's a Tosus in Sukkah. Tosus is Sukkah Mem Vov, Dura Maskal Haroya in Shul Chanukah. Tosus asks the question, which many have come to tackle, why is it that we don't find this by any other mitzvah? Meaning, if you don't have Arba Minim, and you go to Shul on Sukkahs, you don't say, make a bracha for seeing everyone waving their Arba Minim. And same is true with pretty much any other mitzvah. We don't find it. Tosfos says it must be because of Chavivus HaNes. It's such a beloved Nes and such a wonderful mitzvah. Therefore, we see actually when I was in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, remember people coming from all over Eretz Yisrael, journalists or even private people coming to see all the various menorahs around. Obviously, they were living in places where it wasn't as common. So, Tosfos says, since that's the people don't have Kalish Kamane Odom Sheinan Bottom Baby on the Kalam Mitzvah, and therefore, he says that's another reason, maybe because you don't have a house. It says, Tosfos V'tam Rishon Nicha, the Reitik Shalem Mezuzah. Right? Tosfos says, you can't say, it's very hard to say that it's because they don't have homes and we want to give them the opportunity. Because if that's the case, why doesn't a person make a bracha on a mezuzah when you can walk past the mezuzah? Or possibly even when the person's affixing the mezuzah, why don't you make the bracha? And therefore, it's not the mustaba. And Tosfos adds that it's not shaykh to make a bracha on something where the person doing the mitzvah himself doesn't make that bracha. So in other words, a person who's fixing a mezuzah doesn't make a bracha on seeing the mezuzah. He makes a bracha, but when it comes to this person, he would be making a bracha which otherwise we don't find for the actual mitzvah. He can't be more powerful than the person himself. there is a Marsham. Marsham wrote in Chelik Dalat Siman Kuf Mem Vav. He writes in Parshas Vayigash. He's writing to someone. He talks about this business about lighting on a train, and what would the din be? So he says he didn't find a mefurish clear raya to it. So he says, but someone who in those to an overnight train, like the Orient Express or something, where you've got your own cabin and you've sort of rented out that place, so there l'chayru you would be chayav. And unlike Rashi's case of a ship, where they were, he wants to say the ships were open and they didn't have any coverings, they didn't have a roof or walls, etc., and the wind just blows there, and therefore that's not called a house, and therefore Rashi said you don't lie there. But when it comes to when it comes to the train, he wants to say that it doesn't matter the fact that it's moving. The fact that it's moving is not the problem. At the end of the day, you have your place there, and you are able to light. I never went into it in great depth, but the Marsham has another interesting shuvah about trains, which is about kohenim, because we know that an oil zoruk is not called noshe nashmei or oil, so. Very often, if a kohen is on a plane, there can be an issue if he knows for sure that he's going over a beis olam. And the I believe the Marsham has a tshuva about on a train. If you would be passing the train tracks, maybe there was a question of mesim around the train tracks where they'd put the train. Would that be considered oil zoruk for that or not? In other words, what's the din of this train? Okay. The Ramosha has a tshuva. And it's interesting, it's not in Arachan, it's in Yeridea Gimel, and Simon Yud Dalet, near one of the last pieces. It's kind of, it's Shlomim Koma a bit, but he brings this question. And really he's talking about Bochram and Yeshiva, who go who obviously want to light. And really he says they should light in their bedrooms, which I don't think the Hanhala of most yeshivas would be too happy with. He does say that whilst the lights are burning there, someone has to be sitting there because of Shmira to make sure nothing has from. Because you can't, they have to take it in turns. You have to take Mishmaris to take care of it. But he says that as a Dovah Pashut. He holds that lighting in the dining room, which is sort of Shutfus, he holds is not correct and it's not really the mitzvah. And therefore, he says you do a bedroom. As I say, I think the yeshivas don't generally go with this, at least not in Gateshead anyway. But in Yerushalayim, I think people do. At least I did when I was in yeshiva there. And he brings basically this discussion of Rashi. He brings a Taz. It seems to be a typo in the Igros Moshe. I think it's Tofresh Ayin Vov Gimel as opposed to Tofresh Ayin. But anyway, so he says that the mitzvah is to do with. Practical, he says the case of Rashi where he has a svina is not going to be because he doesn't have access to light, as we'll soon see. Hopefully one of the post wants to suggest your svina is not practical, it's not a din in house, it's not a din in money, it's not a din in kavius, it's not a din brachas, it's a din practical. Ramosha says it's very dochuk to go and say that the reason why Rashi said you don't have a svina is because you don't have candles, you don't have oil with you. So I should say, and what happens if he does have oil with him, then he can. So it seems to be the fact that Rashi brings svina as the example, it seems to be it's a din in the boats. In this place you don't light, as opposed to the other understanding where it just happened to be practical, you might not have it, and therefore you only do hara. Sakona for. Because it's wood. You have to remember, we live in stone houses, so we don't really maybe appreciate it. First of all, in America, there's still places that have wooden houses. But anyway, in truth, once upon a time, you'd have it very difficult if you're going to worry about wood, not to light your candles. You should have to be careful. There is a discussion, for example, in the Mishnah Berurah, in Hilchos Sukkah, about what should you light near a Shabbos in the Sukkah. Because again, his Sukkah would have been not the indoor ones with the roof, part of the house, rather it would have been a wooden structure, and the Mishnah Berurah is a bit hesitant to say you should light because he's worried about fires and things, which it was a constant problem in Europe. Obviously, if you've got one of these boxes, you can put safety nets around it. You can even put water around. There's always, and as I say, as Ramosha says, one should always be there. If there's any shailas of health and safety, person must have, you know, it doesn't, it's not just, oh, I did the mitzvah, I can go now. You know, show mitzvah liyoda davara, it doesn't work that way. But the chayra, you know, I mean, you have to remember also, they didn't, in days gone by, the time of Rashi certainly, any light they would have lit would have been a torch, it wouldn't have been electric lighting. So, the chayra, they would know how to get by that problem, I hope. Okay. One of the classic, shall we say, cases, the classic case of lighting away from home is lighting in shul. This is a minhag which is not found in the Gemara. It's hard to know where what the earliest makor is for such a thing, but the Rishonim bring it down, and they say, the Kolboy says that it's lahoitzi misheinu baki v'sheinu zoris bezois. Gamki who hid the mitzvah pusmanes v'zeichen mikdash. So he puts in a few words, a few different ideas here. Lahoitzi someone who doesn't have maybe, or someone is not going to do it. Someone who, and also pusmanes. Okay, pusmanes I think we can all appreciate. But then he says v'zeichen mikdash. Okay, I mean everything. I mean the whole of Leiris Kanaka is pusmanes. So that's not. So maybe it's a bigger pusmanes here. This Kolbo is slightly misquoted, we'll see in a second, by the Beis Yosef. It's very rare to see the Beis Yosef apparently misquote something. I don't know, maybe he had a different girsa, but as far as I'm aware, it's just not from the Kolbo. But he gives another, he mentions something else. The Zevar Manhig, who was again Provençal Rishon, who brings down a lot of different minhagim, he says the following. He says there's no chiyuv to light in the shul, because there's nobody living there. And he says, for example, the Chazal tell us it should be mezuzah on the Yamin and Chanukah, the menorah on the small. So he says, in the base of Knesset, even though we are noyik to put a mezuzah on the shul door, there is no chiyuv to put a chiyuv, mezuzah on the shul door. And therefore, you can see it's a place of p'tor. Okay, but Beis Medrash, we today sort of fudge the two. We put, have Beis Medrash, Beis Knesset is all the same. In those days, no one would have lit. We're talking specifically about Beis Knesset, meaning that nobody would have lit a menorah in a Beis Medrash. There's no minhag to light in a Beis Medrash at all. It's completely a din in Beis Knesset. We'll see possibly why. He actually continues on this very point. He says, why, what's the reason? Apologies, I missed out one important point, which is unless, as was the case sometimes, you have a chazan who lives in the shul, sometimes a big building, and you give him an apartment or something, and he's living there, maybe you could say that's considered a base dira.
Daniam used to sleep there.
We'll get to Daniam. Here, so far, the they've not been talking about an Oni who doesn't have, maybe. We'll see Mitzvashem about that point. But Malik says that since the Ness came in the Mikdash Beis Olamim, right? In other words, the Mikdash HaGodol, and we're making in our small Mikdash Ma'at, right? A shul is considered like a small temple, if you put it out, and therefore this is Pirsumanes in a very miniature form, much reduced to the way it was in the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore that would be specific to Beis HaKnesses as opposed to any other place. There's even, I'm not sure we'll have time, but there is a discussion even where in the shul to place it. I think by now most people have come up to a fixed minhag, but some people used to put it in the middle of the shul, actually, not in the front or on the sides. But this is also mentioned in other Rishonim, Ritva, the Meiri. They say talk about Pirsumanes, but it's not clear that Chazal ever would masake in such a thing. They actually said such a thing that you should do it. Shabbat Leket brings the Bala Ito, and he says that some even put it on the door of the shul, by the door. Some people, and he mentions putting it in the middle, and he says, this minag lo yadanu shayir fa'anaf leminag zeh. We don't actually know any makar for this. We don't know the basis of it at all. And his brother, the Shavu'la Lekat, says his brother, Rabbi Huda, actually did not light. And he didn't, because he didn't want anyone to make a bracha on it. And he says, since everyone's lighting at home anyway, what's the point of lighting in shul? To go back for a second to Rabbi Yanki's point, which is that it's one of the few cases we see a person has to sell his clothing, borrow money for this mitzvah. So obviously the gabayit stock are meant to ensure that everyone has enough minimally for one light. I think the Kaf HaChaim brings down the interesting question about if you're giving aniyim, do you give, you've only got a certain amount of candles, let's say, do you give one per person? They should be kind of the ikkah mitzvah. And therefore you'll, let's say, help maybe five aniyim do the mitzvah. Or do you give five to one person? You say, kol ha-koydim zeicha. But, yeah. So he says that if there were orchim, there were people living in the shul, that was lying there, sleeping there. So he says, if that's the case, then let them be the ones to light it. We don't find that Mechabed the Oreach, who came in, again, not in the modern era, but before the war, that would have been very common for people to be traveling place to place and sleeping in the shul, etc. So if that's the case, if he's Oreach and you want to be Mechabed, so go ahead. It'll be his. He can have a din like an Achsanoi. He can have a din like someone who's renting or staying with you, and therefore, and even such a person is not Yotze with the menorah of the household. He has to write his own. And therefore, he doesn't like it. And then comes back to the Sefer Manik suggestion about maybe the chazan lives in the shul, but he doesn't actually find it to be very convincing. The Torah brings down the Sefer Mitzvah Sakotan, who says that unlike at home, where one lights it with Tzad HaKnisa, in the shul, you should light it in the south. So they learn it. It's like a kind of like a, again, it would fit with what we said earlier of the kolboy, that it's a bit of a zeichel mikdash. As I said, Beis Yosef brings down the kolboy slightly differently. He says he talks about the orchim where we eat and drink in the shul, and he says v'chein kosav kolboy. The kolboy doesn't seem to say that, at least not in Simon Mem Dalad, where everyone seems to be quoting him from. The Rivosh, who's slightly later, has an idea to say that maybe the reason Chazal, this minhag developed, was because nowadays we're not able to mekayim the mitzvah mibachutz. The Rivosh had to run away from persecution from Spain. It could be already in his time there was this issue where maybe in time of the Rishonim, if you were going to light your menorah outside, you might get attacked for it. I think we can all sympathize with that notion nowadays, with what's going on recently. But he also insists that a person's not Yotze with this. It's not Moitzi anyone. So it's a nice thing to do. It's interesting that you can make even a broch on it. He says that's not a din. It's not really a din that you're moitzi anyone with it. He says it's similar to halal of Rosh Chodesh, where it's only a minag, but you can make a broch on it. Okay. On this point, actually, the Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva. It's quite a short tshuva. He disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says madlikim v'orchim beis haknesset mishum pirus haminisa, and he argues strongly against this. He says that he doesn't understand the Beis Yosef's own opinion, own shitta in generally, is that you don't make a bracha on a minhag. You make a bracha on a mitzvah of Chazal, a gezeira, but you don't make it on a minhag. So for example, Rosh Chodesh Halel, you wouldn't make a bracha. And therefore he says, Beis Yosef's quoting these mostly Ashkenazi, he says Ashkenazim v'Tzarfatim. He says that their minhag is to make a bracha on halal of Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, like Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore, makes sense here, you would also have this minhag, you can make a bracha. He says, but according to the Rambam, where you don't make a bracha on minhagim, why has the Shulchan Aruch fixed that you do make a bracha here? So he leaves it with Tzarech Ian on the Shulchan Aruch. I never really saw a very satisfactory answer to this, what the pshat is here, but there are one or two exceptions. Possibly. I don't know where I saw this, but there is a discussion, I think, that the Vilna Gaon compares this to Hallel on Pesach in Shul. On the first night of Pesach, it's different from Hogim. Some people, they have a Kriyas sort of Hallel in Shul before they go home for Leila Seder. And there, the minhag of those who do say it do make a bracha. And I believe that the mechaber holds, like, well, at least the Sfardi minhag, I believe, is to do that as well. And therefore, that would again be an exception when perhaps you're making a bracha on something that's a minhag. Because it's not clear for Chazal that's a chiyuv. Just to mention a couple of things before I go on to public lightings. I'll just mention one more small thing. There's this Tshuva the Maram Shik. Maram Shik, I think everyone's aware, was one of the close Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer. And Rav Moshe Shik has a Tshuva to one of his Talmidim about this point. He's actually talking about... he starts off the Tshuva. It's a very interesting thing. They made a Chinuch Beis HaKnesses. And the Rav there, I'm not sure who he was. Maybe he's not mentioned to protect the guilty. He actually apparently made up his own bracha when they fixed up a Ner Tomid, right? So they fixed up a light. So he made a bracha b'shem Malchus, Asher Kishon Zvezav Tzivanu, l'hadik Ner Shel Tomid. And he made a Shechionu as well. And it was very interesting. I presume, from my understanding, is that this is all pre-electricity. So this wasn't really going to be a proper Ner Tomid, unless someone's going to stand there and make sure that it's constantly on.
Is it a locha or is it a minicon?
It's always a question. But even if it would... Well, we've already established that lechayra, lefi minag Ashkenaz, you can make a bracha on a minag. But the point is, generally speaking, even if you have a minag, you don't make up your own bracha for it. Right? I mean, there's the here's dip the apple in the honey on Rosh Hashanah. I never saw anyone make a bracha. Never heard such a thing. So he's saying that this is what he did, and he says we don't find this bracha anywhere, and he says klar that this is he says an ominag that you don't find in the Gemara and the Talmud. You don't make a bracha for it. So he holds it was a bracha levatola. He actually points out, how is he going to make sure that the light is always on? He has to be there tobid now. So you have to have Mishmaris as well. So then, when he says this, he gets onto this our point, which is that our minag, this minag of lighting in shul, is not mentioned in the Gemara. So therefore, even though we said that you can make a bracha on minhagim, usually it's on minhagim that are mentioned in the Gemara, like such as halal on Rosh Chodesh. So he says that b'lamaisa. He brings the Rivosh and others, and he says, "Ma'aser, we do, this is the minhag b'chol tzvutzus yisrael." He says, "Even though afal bi shemati shemar hagon bal chas b'sefer mona satzmei melevarech al hadlokas neres chanukah bebeis haknesses." So Chas b'sefer himself was maybe like the Shabbat aleket, didn't make a bracha. He held that since this is not mentioned anywhere in Shas, we'll light, but we won't light with a bracha. That was his approach. But then the Maram Shik says, "But mikol mokum kein hua minhag." Sugi de Alma bli pikpok. Even though the Chasam Sofer was maybe extra machme on this, that's not the conclusion of most poskim, and the minhag ha'olam is to make a bracha even in shul. There is a question about this pirsum nisa being done in shul. Do you need 10 people? So the Maruk Tzia in Tov Rishayin Aleph and the Rav Pa'alim in Arachaim Chedek Beis Samach Beis. They bring, and there are the number of other chrenim who say this, they say you need 10 people there to make a bracha. The Mogen Avraham has a question if it's coming Erev Shabbos, and very often Shabbos Erev Chanukah people come in late, so you may not have the minyan there, can you light with a bracha? And he says yes, ala smach, that other people are going to come later and see it. So there'll be 10, even though B'Shas Hadlaka, there won't be 10, but you can do it, and that's the way the Chayodim and the Mishnah Berurah Paskin, and it's kind of like if a person were to be lighting in at home, maybe outside their door or in the window, and at B'Shas Hadlaka there's no 10 people there, but Lamaisi make a bracha. There may not be anybody there, there may be no Pirsum Manes at the time of the Hadlaka, but later on people will see it. There is a question, can you be Mitzaref women into this 10? So if we know that women are Chayavus in the Mitzvah of Chanukah, but can they be Mitzaref to the 10? So this is a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch regarding Megillah. Rav Pa'alim, the Mechaber Ben Ishchai, he says that in the same way over there, in Hilchos Purim, the Mechaber says you should lay in the Megillah in front of 10. This is if, and if not, you can do it by Yechidus. The Ramah says, V'yesh l'shtapik im noshim mitztarfes la'asorah. So, if you go to the Rishonim in the Torah brings the Balaito and the Ran, or the Beisitz brings the Ran, and the Balaito seems to say, no, they're not mitztarf. They like a Zimun, they can be mezamnes la'atzmon, but they're not part of Amitzvah, and therefore they're not mitztarf. Whereas the Ran says, no, if the Gemara allows a woman to be moitzi a man, in the Kriyas Megillah, or at least according to Rashi, I should point out, three Rashi, a woman can be moitzi a man, therefore it can't be make sense that she can be moitzi a man with a Kriya, but she can't be mistarf to the ten of the Kriya. And therefore that's considered Barabin. And this is a Machlokas. Most, she got a Chiyuv by Megillah, but can she be part of a minion of the Pirsumanissa of the Megillah? So this is the question, the Rebbe Avadia combining the Mogen Avraham, that people will come late, and this Rav Palem wants to be Matir, but many of other Achronim don't allow this. It's a Siyazir, Rav Shem Zalman, etc. They don't, and Rav Chalayahu, they don't allow this. There's a question about posed regarding people who are outside in the field, for example, soldiers. So I couldn't find the actual main Makor, but there's discussion about it being in a tank, and could you light in a tank? Because it has the shiur of possibly a place, dalad al dalad, but it's not really a makom dira. I saw Rav Aaron Lichtenstein wanted to say you shouldn't make a bracha on such a thing because it's not really a dira. He was mefakpek a little bit on the marasham that it's not klar that's a base dira on a train, but certainly when it comes to outside in the field, that's not. I'm not sure if that's the right time. But I'll just finish by saying there is obviously a very large discussion about lighting in public in a place where there's no dira at all. And the vast majority of Achronim, pretty much almost per echad, all say that we already have difficulty understanding lighting menorah in a shul with a bracha. Lighting, and part of that may be due to Orachim living there, it may be due to it being Zechel Mikdash, etc. There's more reasons, at least, even though none of them are very, very convincing. The Rishonim come up with reasons. But if you're going to come up with something which is no Zechel Mikdash, and also there's no one actually living there in the middle of a street, so most of the Achronim, I mentioned the Gros Moshe already, and the Menchas Yitzchak in Chelik Vav Simen Samachay, and the Devar Yatziv, right, Kleisenberger, and the Tzitz Eliezer, and the Shevet Halevi. And Rav Moshe Sternbuch and Shuvus Van Hogus, they all discuss this, and they all say there's no makom to make a bracha on a lighting which is not in a home or where someone's living, even if it's going to be a pirsum hanes, but it's not with a bracha. The two people who argue on this are So Lubavitch. It's interesting. I asked some Lubavitch. It's not clear that the Lubavitch Rebbe instituted this. It is the done thing now in Lubavitch. I'm not sure that they, as I say, I haven't seen a sicha or anything clear directly from the Rebbe. The Rebbe said they should do it. But, obviously each person asks their own Rav. Surprisingly, a little bit, Rav Avadia Yosef and also in Oz Nisbru, which is Rav Yom Zilber, they actually take the other way. And they say that the proof that you need a bias specifically is not clear. In other words, they want to say the other way around. Most of the Achronim are saying, you shouldn't be adding to the mitzvah, right? Don't add more than we know what's allowed. Obviously, at home, Beis Medrash is a bit, Beis Hakness is a bit strange, but okay. But adding to that is you've got to be, bring a raya for that before you can make a bracha. And they say the other way around. This is the idea of person. We see already in shul you do it, and shul is not because of a base dira, because people are not living there, and therefore why not be able to do it outside as well? They look at it as almost you need the proof to say I can't do it. Which is a bit interesting way of looking at it, but as I say, that's machin. The majority of poskim are not happy with making a bracha. I'm not sure what people do if they're stuck in such a situation. Maybe mechabit someone else to make the bracha. I don't know, but that's generally the general practice. Okay.
Shkoyach.